Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox with Dan Buck this morning. I read this Facebook post earlier in the show, but I think it's worth revisiting that in about an hour and a half from now, we're going to talk to a parent, has a kid in Wentzville, and last night their school district had a lot of angry parents based on this middle school teacher's Facebook post. I'll read, quote, "And just so everyone is aware, the Lord indeed does not say well done to racist, homophobic, misogynists that use their vast platforms to spread hate. When you bear no fruit of the Spirit, you have not been a faithful servant." That was the Facebook post by a middle school teacher. I tried to look it up online. The individual person here had their account locked, so I couldn't see it, but the picture matched. So I'm a little hesitant to say the person's name. I did reach out to Wentzville School District asking for a comment. This was like 3 days ago because I wanted to try to vet this properly. They did not respond. And from what I understand, after talking to this parent who reached out to us, that's their MO. They are kind of like, we don't know how to deal with this. Well, apparently the middle school teacher also is involved with some administrative issues. So this school board meeting last night was going to be a pretty big one, and she's going to join us. The parent that was the one that alerted us to this middle school teacher writing this stuff about Charlie Kirk, inappropriate stuff online, in about an hour and a half, we'll get her take on
that. And it's important to note, too, that in no media outlets is that story even being told. Not one. You can't find a story about it in the Post that I can see. You can't find a story about it on any of the TV news channels. We are going to be covering it this morning to try to find out what happened. But it just seems like the media wants to avoid any of these negative comment people, the people who have lost their jobs, who have, you know, we've had people in healthcare who have been axed because of the mean things they have said. Now we are seeing people in the St. Louis area in the educational field who are being called out on their hateful rhetoric that was posted after Charlie Kirk. But the media is ignoring it. I don't get it. In order to get this information of these things, you've got to find it on social media. And that's sad.
I saw David Letterman is speaking out about Jimmy Kimmel and the comments that he made. You see what Letterman said?
Yeah.
You want to hear it?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Let's do it. This is clip number 9, if we can play that.
We all see where this is going, correct? It's managed media, and it's no good. It's silly. It's ridiculous. And you can't go around firing somebody because you're fearful or trying to suck up to an authoritarian criminal administration in the Oval Office. That's just not how this works.
Okay, so do you think David Letterman getting some of his facts wrong here?
Well, yeah.
A lot of them.
A lot of them. And again, it kind of goes back to these labels they love to put on people. But what is he saying? That there should be no accountability for a network host? That they should not be held accountable for anything that they say in good taste and whether or not they're being just good human beings? That all should just be thrown out the window in the name of free speech. That's not what free speech is. The only thing the First Amendment protects you from is government intervention from limiting what you say. That's why it was written, so that the government wouldn't have overreach. It at no point did it say you're exempt from consequences of your actions and your words. Words have consequences. And if you are going to offend millions and millions of Americans who are in mourning by your, you know, cold and calloused, you know, diatribe as a comedian, guess what? You might be held accountable by your employer, who's going to lose money because of your, you know, horrible human being, you know, decision to say negative things about a dead man, an assassinated man.
Here's the point that I think needs to be made, mostly to the point of Letterman saying that they're weaponizing the FCC in this case, which actually is not.
It's
in fact, the guests that we talked to in the first hour, this is strictly a business decision. And did you mention that Kimmel's contract is up in a few months? So this was their way of saying we're not pleased with how things are going. But what he should be saying is, well, how about the way Obama weaponized the IRS, or how about the way Biden weaponized the FBI?
Yeah.
These were much more blatant abuses of government into the freedoms of the people than the FCC and the connection between that and ABC, which there is none to this point. So they're trying to blame this because they hate Trump. They're just looking for extra ways to hate Trump. That's all it is.
Well, and did they scream when Tucker Carlson was fired? Did they scream when Roseanne Barr got fired by ABC because of a tweet? What happened to her free speech and her ability to make a joke about, you know, Jarrett, the chief of staff of President Obama, who did, by the way, call their friend and donor Bob Iger, who facilitated firing her over that. Absolutely. And that was a proven fact that they did indeed have a conversation about it. And lo and behold, a day later, Iger and Disney and ABC fired Roseanne Barr. But that all goes out the window now suddenly because, and Trump, by the way, did not call Bob Iger. This was a 100% business decision by ABC going, hey, the dude's ratings have dropped 73% over the past 9 years in the key demographic areas, meaning the younger population that show's supposed to be appealing to. Think about that. You lose 73% of your audience and you are still making $15 million a year. Holy cow.
All right.
Yeah, insane.
Let's do the short list.
The Mark Cox short list.
Where's that money going to go? Would you consider giving it back to taxpayers while they wait for some of the things that you just talked about to kick in? Is that an option?
Politically, that's a nice thing to do, but you can do that and you can also pay down debt.
I say we just pay down debt. The stimulus checks have been costly to our pocketbook when it comes to inflation.
Yeah.
If you got this money coming in from tariffs, we got a debt problem, y'all. So let's try to fix that first and foremost.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that.
We saw the government step up and give a hard shove, and then we saw a compliant company turn around and suspend Mr. Kimmel. And that truly undermines the whole premise of the First Amendment.
Man.
I think it was, less of a shove from the FCC and more of a blatant reminder that consumers of their product don't want this, much like they saw with their movies and other content they've released, that when it comes to this woke, let's dump on Charlie Kirk and his widow, they're not putting up for that. And that's the reason why it happened.
That's right.
Tucker Carlson is out at Fox News. Couldn't have happened to a better guy.
Oh,
it's AOC flashback. Flashback.
Oh, my gosh. That was AOC.
Do you want to know? Do you want to know how, if the shoe was on the other foot, how they react? We can look at the Tucker Carlson example.
Right.
I do want people to know that just because someone has committed a crime, it doesn't make them a criminal.
No, wait. Hey, I'm going to play that again. I want to just make sure everybody heard that. Here she is again, Jasmine Crockett.
Yeah.
I do want people to know that just because someone has committed a crime, it doesn't make them a criminal.
And if you think we took her out of context, we didn't. We did not take the woman out of context. We played the whole bite. What was that last hour, right, Ryan?
Yeah.
When we played the whole bite, she actually went on to sound even dumber. Because she said, well, being a criminal isn't really committing the crime. It's a mindset. What are you talking about? So what she's basically saying is that in order to be a criminal, you have to have a certain, I guess, you know, emotional and logical premise to claim yourself or deem yourself as criminal in nature. But the act of committing a crime doesn't make you a criminal. That was her whole rationale in the longer form of that speech. Did I summarize her theory correct?
She's completely missing the point. When you talk about someone that has committed a crime, and part of the penance of that is rehabilitation or saying that you're not the same person, you ask for forgiveness, whatever it may be. She's basically skipping past that and saying that essentially, no, you weren't that to begin with. There is no need to forgive the crime because the crime didn't happen because you're not a criminal.
You're not a criminal if you don't feel you're a criminal. If you don't,
it's skipping a big part of this when it comes to what happens after the fact, especially when the legal system is involved. You have to be able to show that particularly there's a little bit of remorse going on there. And she's saying no need.
Well, and it's like the mayor of Chicago. We had another soundbite earlier from him saying that incarceration has never worked in tempering down crime. Okay, but you saw record crime, and I mean all violent crime categories across the state of Illinois when they did their no bail policy and put that into law in, what was it, 2021 or 2022, and basically saying you get a free get out of jail card no matter what the crime is, pretty much. I mean, the only thing they were holding people on were like murder. I mean, it was rapist. You could make your appearance, get out. You could have crimes against violent crime, holdups, things like that. Get out of jail free cards. It was a complete mess. And police officers were admitting, why would I even arrest this guy? They're not going to hold him. He's not going to see his day in court for 2 months. And then you got liberal judges who are giving him a slap on the hand. So. Yep. What does work, Mayor? Give us a policy that's going to work and stop your 500 murders a year, most of which are in South Chicago. It's insane that these people continue to fight incarceration as one of the tools to use in crime fighting.
Heritage Foundation's National Security and Foreign Policy expert is Jim Carafano. He's going to join us after the break. Looking forward to talking to him. He's a bright dude on 97.1 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk. Jim Carafano from the Heritage Foundation, expert on national security and foreign policy. Good morning, sir.
How are you, my friend?
Oh, so good to hear your voice. We're doing very, very well. I saw a headline on the Hill, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this, being you look at foreign policy and security. And this is the headline from the Hill. It's a quote from David Axelrod. Trump's designation of Antifa as a terrorist organization will be used to target political enemies. So let's look at the designation of Antifa. Is it a good idea to label groups like that a terrorist organization?
So nobody reads The Hill. So the fact that David Axelrod can actually get published there, tells you, look, I mean, there is a thing called organized political violence, which is putting people in the streets to actually riot and do things for a political purpose. That is a way of saying that these people are a terrorist without actually meeting the legal proof. The problem with Antifa, really since the first days of the rioting when they came to prominence, was we could not get a federal government to actually sit down and investigate them to see if all the elements of what actually constitutes a terrorist act are there. And an act of terrorism is obviously something that is a crime, right? It's violence or the use of violence, but then it is for a political purpose. And I've always thought since the first days that the Rose is an organization that they could well be classified as a terrorist organization. They hide under the guise that, hey, we're not an organization. You know, we're just a bunch of people and we just go to the street and we're just making a political statement. When we know that, we absolutely know that none of that's true, that there's funding, there's direction, there's coordination, and they go to the street to hurt people and intimidate them because they don't like what President Trump does. They don't like conservative politics. They even sometimes riot against Democrats.
Yeah. Well, but they use everything at their disposal, right? They do digital activism. They have doxed thousands and thousands of people. We've been victims of it here at this station. You know, harassment, physical violence, threats of physical violence, property damage. We saw them torching cities. And they do this all in the name of fascism, which is a laughable thing because that's exactly what fascists do when they're trying to get power in countries. Look at history, right? They use intimidation and violence, and in many cases murder, to squelch anyone who opposes fascism, correct? I mean, it's almost like they're doing exactly what they say they're against.
Well, yeah. So real fascists, right?
Yeah.
Are proud of it. They say I'm a fascist. Yeah. They say I'm a Nazi. When your enemy calls you a fascist and you say, hey, they're lying. And so the whole concept of anti-fascism, just like the whole concept of anti-racism, is inverting truth. I mean, nobody is more racist than an anti-racist because the foundation of anti-racist ideology is it's okay to be racist against white people.
Right.
Anti-fascism is the use of force to drive political change, which is what fascists do. The term anti-fascism is just inverting it. It's like George Orwell was born to describe these people. They have taken a fictional book, 1984, and they have turned it into a reality of political life. And I guess the other thing is, when you listen to all the comments that you just made, another thing that the U.S. government never did was to really explore the crimes of RICO, which is a law that was designed to make the actual coordinating of criminal activity a crime. It was originally used against the mafia, but I've always thought that Antifa was an organization that just screamed out to be investigated for RICO crimes. And as you pointed out, you know, terrorism is not just blowing up and killing people. It's any act of violence for a political purpose or the threat of violence
right.
for a political purpose.
Yeah, and you know, going back just 6-7 years ago, the left denied Antifa even existed. They said, oh, we can't look it up on Google Maps or by iPhone. So Antifa obviously does. It's a made up boogeyman from the right. And I thought Donald Trump probably said it right at the time, which was Antifa doesn't exist until they hit you in the head with a bat, which was their MO.
The difference, you know, what's really, you know, this is not a ground up populist organization. So if you reflect back to kind of the heyday of the white supremacist movement in the 1980s, which was actually never more than really a handful of yahoos, they had no money. They actually isolated themselves. Many of them moved to very remote communities, so they didn't have to talk to normal people. And yeah, they were a threat. I mean, they committed bank robberies, they blew up the building, but this is different. This is not a bunch of idiots who go off into the woods and say, you know, let's create our own country and not pay taxes. This is money that was poured into this country yeah. from China, from other foreign sources, from Islamist groups and international organizations run by George Soros and others. And in many cases, who found caches of American tax dollars and re-diverted that. So this mm-hmm. whole organization was created by money. It's not people yeah. truly angry and going to the streets. I mean, I see this in D.C. all the time. There's these go out and there's these protesters and they're Antifa or whatever. It's the same people all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And what's your job? Yeah. Well, my job is I'm yeah. paid to be an Antifa.
Yeah, yeah right? exactly. You're right. Jim Carafano, Heritage Foundation, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And your insights are always appreciated. We love it.
Appreciate you, Jim.
now I'm going to be ranting about this all day. Thanks, guys.
Can you believe someone quoted The Hill? That's how the conversation will start. Yeah. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. It's Mark Cox Morning Show. Welcome back. Happy Friday to you. Congressman from Missouri's 7th Congressional District in our Capitol Beat, Representative Eric Burleson. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Great to be on.
I wanted to read a headline from Politico, just because, to get things started. It says, Democrats are barreling towards a shutdown with no clear plan to get out. I was also looking at some other headlines when it came to this. Part of the headlines, it's like the Democrats' plan is, hey, we'll get along with you Republicans as long as you present a budget that looks exactly like ours. That's the only way we'll play ball, which is not a good negotiation strategy. So what's going on? Are we headed towards a shutdown in the federal government?
I don't know. I mean, when Chuck Schumer says that he doesn't, that, you know, puts out a memo or a statement saying that he won't support a clean, you know, short-term CR, then that's the very thing that we ought to send him. They're going to have a hard time dealing with this. And if we present something that's clean, there's no plus-ups, there's no earmarks. The only thing that is plussed up is security, increased security after the Charlie Kirk assassination on elected officials. But outside of that, it is about the best chance that we have to keep spending under control and to keep the government open. And so I hate CRs, but this is I will always take the path that gets us to the point where we're spending the least amount of money. And I think that this is the path. And if Chuck Schumer wants to shut the government down, they're going to have to see Russ vote take over from there, because that really empowers Russ Vogt to make the cuts that I think will be painful to the Democrats.
Congressman, what are the biggest differences between your two bills? I know Schumer wants more money for illegal health care. What other are some of the big holdups that they're wanting to add to this spending bill in this budget?
They want to undo Trump's DOGE cuts. They want to undo basically all of the savings reductions that we've identified before, including the savings that we got in the One Big Beautiful Bill. And so they want to undo all of that, which is just absurd. They just need to be reminded you didn't win. You don't have the majority. We have the majority. And if you want to take your ball and go home, that's fine. But the whole country is going to see you for what you are, which is obstructionist and wanting the place to burn down. So it will be the Schumer shutdown if he doesn't give in.
Any defectors on the Republican side, on the Senate side, that you would foresee that would keep us from getting that bill passed?
I think Rand Paul and typically Massey. Has a hard time. Mm-hmm. Massey, but I don't, but I'm, don't know, and I wouldn't put words in their mouths.
Okay.
Yep. Can I play a clip for you and get some of your thoughts on it? This is when it comes to tariffs and what we do with that money. Ethan, if you can play clip number one for the representative.
So you talk about the hundreds of billions of dollars that have come in because of the tariffs. Would you consider, where's that money going to go? Would you consider giving it back to taxpayers while they wait for some of the things that you just talked about to kick in? Is that an option?
Politically, that's a nice thing to do, but you can do that and you can also pay down debt because we're talking about very big numbers.
So which do you like better?
Both, maybe. I mean, I could see both. I could giving something back because, look, these people have been forced to suffer for years by being ripped off by other countries, including China and, frankly, including the European Union.
All right, so that was President Trump. What we do with this tariff money? What do you think we should do with it, Representative Burleson?
Yeah, I think that we should pay down debt. We spend way too much, and if we just took that money and wrote checks, I think that we would exacerbate the problem that we have, which is we have a inflationary economy, and inflation is caused by us spending more than we bring in. So this would only drive up. Your mortgage rates would go up, interest rates would go up, and inflation would continue to go up. So I think that right now, with the economy the way it is, we've got to get spending under control.
And we've seen the effects of what these stimulus checks have done in very recent memory. We don't have to go back very far, 21, 22, 23, when the stimulus was pumped into the economy. As you said, it had an adverse effect to the economy. Why would the president continue to entertain that thought? I mean, we need to get the debt down, and I don't think he's going to get a whole lot of allies on the Republican side, would you think, to go along with another stimulus?
He might. I think that it's a noble thing to want to give the money back to the taxpayer. That's much better than having us spend it. I think that if we can keep our spending under control, what I don't want to see happen is for us to take that money and plus up spending because we are bringing in tariff revenue. That's a really bad recipe. So I like Trump's plan. I prefer, my first preference is pay down the debt. And then I would kind of somewhat agree with him that if you're not going to do that, it's much better to give it back to the taxpayers than it would be to plus up spending.
Yeah. Can't we just be responsible for once? Like, for one time in my life, can we be responsible when it comes to our money? That's what I plea for our lawmakers. Please, just once in my life, can you show us you can be responsible?
Ryan, how dare you even think like that?
I have been fighting for a balanced budget amendment before I even got up here, and I have been fighting with the leadership to have even a vote on the balanced budget amendment. And I think that, when it came to the One Big Beautiful Bill, we were criticized. I say we, the fiscal hawks, were criticized for demanding spending reduction and fiscal sanity when it came to that bill. And I'm proud to say, I mean, while we were, a little bit of a fly in the ointment, we pushed the moderates in our party to be able to actually get spending reductions for the first time in a long time. And so it's not enough to save the country, but it was a huge start, and it's the biggest spending reduction in the history of the United States. So now we've created that muscle memory. Hopefully we can continue that.
News today on Fox News that AOC is stepping up her campaign for the 2028 presidential run, which I just hope and pray that she could become the nominee. That would be too awesome for a slam dunk victory for the Republicans. But can you kind of tell me how so many of these Democratic lawmakers have become multimillionaires in a very short window of time? I don't think you have gotten $20 million in your bank account, have you, since you started, Eric?
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
How has this happened?
My wife reminds me all the time that she's like, because I was an investment advisor. I made more money before I was in Congress, and my wife reminds me of that all the time.
Can you walk us through that? Because if she's serious, she's going to need millions. Well, they reported she does have millions. And yeah, I'm like, where did this come from? She was a waitress 8 years ago.
I don't have a clue how she has accumulated that much money,
She's not alone, though. Where are these millions coming?
Trading stuff.
Yeah, where do they come from?
What we really need to have happen is we need to have insider trading is illegal, no matter who you are, and including a member of Congress. And if you, it's just that we're not sending these to be investigated, and so the Department of Justice needs to be investigating these members for insider trading.
But it can't all be coming from trading, because you got to have money to make money in the market. Where are these millions showing up in their bank accounts that is reportable, because it's showing up on wealth reports? How does a woman accumulate $20 million in 7 years in Congress?
Has she written any books? That's one way that members can make a little bit of money outside. I don't know.
They can pass money through the brokerage houses and say she sold millions of copies, I guess, even if she didn't.
Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe who knows what. But we did find that the Democratic Party, especially with USAID, they were really giving that money. They were dumping that money, billions and billions of dollars, into brand new nonprofit startups that were started up by former staffers, right? So the party is notorious for moving money to their friends. I'm sure that somehow it comes back.
Wow.
Well, there's a certainty that there's going to be, oh boy, another busy news week, and there's always something going on. We appreciate the time that you spend with us here answering some of our questions. We know that it's important that we discuss these things with our representatives. So we truly do appreciate it, Representative Burleson.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. You too. I'm
you
sure
as, well.
As we all mourn the death of Charlie at his service on Sunday, that'll be a tough one to get through.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
You know, I'm glad. Thank you. By the way, I'm glad here 97.1 is covering that on Sunday. You're going to be able to hear the memorial. We know the president, vice president will be there, a lot of other people as well. And something I heard on Fox News that really impressed me, they talked about the attire. They said Sunday best, red, white, and blue. I almost teared up when I heard that. That's beautiful. Just the thought of that in the arena happening on Sunday. Wow. The visual of it won.
72,000 expected, which is the capacity of the stadium. And then they've got another arena next door that they're saying another 15,000 to 20,000 are expected to be in the overflow arena. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yep.
All right. Well, we have your favorite segment coming up after the break. And by the way, I mentioned this earlier, and I think it's worth bringing up again. There was a Wentzville school board meeting last night. A lot of parents were going to attend. They were upset with a tweet that a middle school teacher put out about Charlie Kirk. Very insensitive. We're going to talk to a parent next hour about that as well. I should note, I reached out to Wentzville school districts for comment 3 days ago. It was silent. They did not comment on this. So I gave them the opportunity to defend it. When I listen to this, I'm on the parent's side. It's very insensitive, and I think it needs to be addressed. That'll be next hour as well. We have Representative Dr. Bob Onder joining us next hour, too. We got so much left in the show. You're not going to want to go anywhere on 97.1 FM Talk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Buck Don't Give a
It's Freedom Friday on the Buck Don't Give a Beep segment, and we always feature people on social media out there promoting the truth, in this case, freedom fighting, and we picked out a young lady. She showed up on my X scroll or my X feed probably about 3 weeks ago. I started following her, and then after Charlie Kirk, she's posted three or four really powerful, and I thought she nailed it on this Jimmy Kimmel First Amendment issue. Her name is Alexandra Lanes. That's L-A-I-N-S. She's young. She calls herself a verbal sniper. She's a Christian conservative young woman, and she pretty much lays out why the First Amendment doesn't apply to the Jimmy Kimmel case. And she's very articulate, very bright, and she is our freedom fighter on this Friday. Let's give it up for Alexandra Lanes. Hit it, Ethan.
I am a big fan of free speech. Whether I agree or disagree with you, everyone has a right to speak their mind. However, freedom of speech does not equal freedom from consequences. And when you go on national television spewing misinformation and contributing to the rhetoric that got Charlie Kirk killed, you don't get a free pass. Jimmy Kimmel saying the MAGA gang was trying to claim the shooter was anything more than one of us. Well, he wasn't one of us. He was one of you. When you lie like that on the public airwaves, there are going to be consequences. No, I don't feel bad for you. All this crying over fascism and authoritarianism and freedom of speech is under attack. Give me a break. Where were you when Roseanne Barr was fired? Or Gina Carano? Or when Biden worked with the DOJ and FBI to censor and ban conservatives for nothing more than our beliefs? Where were you when Twitter banned the sitting president of the United States. Oh, you were either celebrating or silent. If Jimmy was arrested and prosecuted for what he said on the show, that would be a free speech violation. His employer pulling him off the air, that is not. What was the line that you guys threw in our faces? Oh, private companies can do whatever they want. Funny how the tune changes when the medicine you've been forcing down our throats finally starts to come back and bite you. You are not suspended for your comedy, though you probably should be, because you're not very funny. You were suspended for lying and basically causing division in a time where people are being gunned down for their beliefs. This is what accountability looks like. It's finally time you start to understand what it feels like.
Oh, yeah. A little civic lesson there. Love this young lady. She's probably in her mid-20s, but she is a big-time freedom fighter. And if you go back, look at some of her older clips, too. She's spot on. She talks really fast, though. Did you notice how she doesn't really take a breath? She gets all animated. That's kind of a young person trend, I think.
Yeah, I didn't watch the video. Were there edit points, or was that straight through?
No, she just talks that fast. And she's passionate. And I don't think she's scripted either. I think she really is talking from the heart. She's very knowledgeable about issues. In this case, the civic lesson about the Second Amendment. People, the Second Amendment was to keep the government out of your business and keeping you from saying things. However, it doesn't protect you from the consequences of what you say, right? That has never been the case. If an employer has human decency clauses and doesn't want you inciting more violence at a time a nation is in mourning, they have the right to fire you. First Amendment doesn't apply here. And that's all she was talking about. I thought she did a great job of it. Give it up for our young people. People like Alexandra Lanes, and she is our featured freedom fighter on this Friday.
Very nice.
She's nice. I mean, she's cool. And she, I mean, I thought her messages were well communicated for a young lady.
You know, I'm sure if she's able to put together an argument like that for this topic, I bet she's got a lot of other thoughts that are worth looking into.
Yeah, and some real touching stuff, too. She had a great one. After the shooting itself, she went out and a real heartfelt, faith-filled message. She is a devout Christian, and she's not afraid to share it. And I think a lot of young people who are Christians are getting a lot bolder in their faith, thanks to Charlie.
Yeah. You know, so we've been running the promos here. The Charlie Kirk Memorial will air live on this station here. And I saw it. Was it Jesse Waters will be anchoring the coverage for that? I think it's going to be very touching. And I know we got a lot to get to. We have another hour of the Mark Cox Morning Show. Representative Dr. Bob Onder is going to join us after the break. Also, a parent in the Wentzville School District, Lindy Williford, upset with a middle school teacher who posted some pretty disrespectful things about Charlie Kirk on social media. Her and a lot of other parents are upset. There was a school board meeting last night. She's going to come on and talk about it. And what was the result of that school board meeting? You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.